Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gland Pharma Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Runjhun Jain. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Sagar. Good evening, everyone. Today, we have Mr. Srinivas Sadu, Executive Chairman, Mr. Shyamakant Giri, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Ravi Mitra, Chief Financial Officer from India Office, and Mr. Alain, CEO of Cenexi, who is connected virtually. Before we proceed, I would like to remind everyone that certain statements made today are forward-looking and based on management's current estimates. These should be considered in the context of risk inherent to our business. Please note that this call is being recorded, and a playback transcript will be available on our website shortly. With that, I hand over the call to Mr. Sadu for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Runjhun. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. On behalf of Gland Pharma, I welcome you to our earnings call for the first quarter of FY26. I will begin by highlighting our strategic priorities and the progress we are making. Shyamakant, Alain, and Ravi will then provide operational insights that led to the performance we are reporting today. The year has begun on a positive note, driven by improved profitability margins in Gland-based business. It is particularly encouraging that after a challenging period, Cenexi has turned a corner and returned to profitability with a break-even EBITDA. The injectables and broader pharmaceutical space continues to evolve, presenting both challenges and strong opportunities. Despite ongoing uncertainties around tariffs, our established capabilities and disciplined approach position us well to navigate and respond effectively. This quarter's performance reinforces our confidence that the strategic building blocks we have put in place are starting to yield results and positive financial outcomes. Let me now update you on the progress we are making on each of our key strategic priorities. We are advancing the expansion of our core business beyond the U.S. by deepening our presence in emerging markets. Although contributions from these markets will take time to build, we believe the distinct value of our portfolio will serve as a key growth catalyst over the medium term. Moving forward, our focus remains on capacity enhancement and strengthening our industry-leading capabilities. Gland has historically led the way in adopting innovative technologies and formats for injectables, consistently offering competitive large-scale solutions. Our current capacity enhancements now include capabilities for suspensions, hormonal products, microsphere bulk, microsphere powder filling. We are also making strategic push into RTU formats such as dual and triple chamber bags. We continue to make significant progress in our CDMO program, particularly in key areas like oncology, RTU bags, ophthalmics, PFS, and GLP-1s. These advanced capabilities give us a unique position in the industry, and we are committed to leading with innovative initiatives. Our GLP-1 strategy gained momentum last quarter with the launch of liraglutide. The product has now also been launched in the U.K. and Australian markets. We are excited about other programs that will benefit from our expanded pen and cartridge capacity, which we are aggressively increasing from 40 million units to over 140 million units, with the factory acceptance test scheduled to be completed by September 25. Turning to our R&D and portfolio expansion initiative, our strategy is anchored on three core pillars: in-house research, complex products, and collaborations. In-house R&D continues to be a strong driver, with nine approved alongside 1,761 global registrations in the quarter. During Q1 FY26, we launched nine new products in the U.S. and are confident of sustaining this momentum. We also filed one RTU infusion bag this quarter, which brings our total to 20 such products filed in the U.S., of which 14 are already approved. An additional 10 RTU bag products are currently under development. This RTU bag portfolio addresses a market opportunity of approximately $750 million in the U.S. In the area of complex injectables, we have already launched six products, with three more in line for approval. We expect complex injectables to remain a central pillar of our long-term growth, with more products being added to the pipeline. Within our co-development model, our portfolio now comprises 15 products, including 7 505(b)(2) submissions and 8 ANDAs. These products are strategically aligned to high potential therapeutic areas such as immunology, chemoadjuvants, mineral supplements, pain management, endocrinology, and radio contrast agents. On Cenexi, we have addressed the challenges head-on and have kept you closely informed on the steady progress of our turnaround plan. I am pleased to report that as of Q1 FY26, Cenexi has turned EBITDA break-even, and we are confident of continued improvement. While it has taken slightly longer than anticipated to fully achieve our acquisition objectives, Cenexi is now firmly on the path to sustainable growth and profitability. This momentum is being driven by a strategic shift away from low-value, high-volume segment towards high-value offerings such as pre-filled syringes, lyophilized vials, and ophthalmic gel. In conclusion, we believe this has been a strong start, and we look forward to building on this momentum to deliver an even stronger performance to FY23. We are confident that actions underway across our strategic pillars will create a meaningful positive impact, supporting Gland's long-term success and sustainability. Thank you for your continued confidence in Gland. With this, I will now hand the call to our CEO, Mr. Shyama Kant, to share his thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sadhu. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining today. We have had a strong start to the year. Gland's base business met expectation, and we are pleased that Cenexi achieved break-even EBITDA after several quarters. First, I will highlight our consolidated performance. Our consolidated revenue stood at INR 15,056 million, showing a growth of 7% over last year's quarter one. Our consolidated EBITDA touched INR 3,678 million, marking a strong 39% increase year over year. A substantial portion of this growth was driven by EBITDA expansion in our base business, complemented by break-even EBITDA from Cenexi, a significant turnaround. Consequently, our consolidated EBITDA margin moved from 19% to 24% this quarter. Next, I will outline the performance of our base business and plan, excluding Cenexi. Breaking down our performance by market, we had a strong quarter in the U.S. with successful launch of 9 new molecules during quarter 1 FY26. This includes important products like epinephrine, acetaminophen bags, and 3 new strains of vancomycin. The U.S. reported INR 7,443 million in revenues, contributing to 49% of our business. Our other regulated markets, including Europe, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, showed good growth, increasing 34% year-on-year, led by portfolio maximization initiatives across our partners. These markets now make up significant 27% of our total revenue. The rest of the world market contributed to INR 2,978 million in quarter 1 FY26, representing 20% of our revenue. We saw a modest 5% increase in this market, largely due to a softer order intake in some key regions. Lastly, the Indian market generated INR 594 million, accounting for 4% of our quarter 1 FY26 revenue. Moving on to the R&D, our total expenditure for quarter 1 FY26 was INR 460 million, which is 4.4% of our base business revenue. During the quarter, we filed one product and received 9 new approvals. R&D remains a cornerstone of our strategy, and we are confident that our new product portfolio will drive growth and profitability in both near and long term. On the operations front, all our units are compliant with various regulatory guidelines, maintaining a strong commitment to high quality. We also focus on monitoring our cost base to ensure our business remains highly competitive and ahead of curve. Cenexi has been the highlight of this quarter. Our strategic initiatives over recent quarters are now delivering tangible financial results. After several quarters of negative EBITDA, Cenexi reached break-even this quarter. In quarter 1 FY26, Cenexi revenue was 48 million euro and gross margin improved to 80% from 78% last year. EBITDA was 0.9 million euro. We are confident Cenexi's performance will continue to improve. Allah will provide a detailed update shortly. We remain committed to enhancing Cenexi's financial performance and achieving our strategic objectives for this acquisition. Before concluding, I will provide a brief update on our key demand and supply priorities outlined when I became a CEO 2 quarters ago. We remain committed to building capabilities and expanding our global reach to drive long-term value. On the demand side, our focus remains on enhancing our footprint and launching new products in high-value, high-growth, rest-of-the-world markets. We are also leveraging our strength in specific therapeutic areas and actively exploring inorganic opportunities to achieve significant growth in India. In the U.S., our primary goal is to add new customers and grow our share of business with existing partners. All of this backed by an accelerated portfolio strategy that emphasizes co-development, in-licensing, and strategic partnership in newer modalities. On the supply side, our priorities are focused on maintaining quality and cost leadership. We are continuously focused on competitiveness and upholding our industry-leading quality and compliance record. We are continuing to strengthen our leadership team with new hires and building capabilities across all functions. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Alain for more detailed update on Cenexi's performance. Over to you, Alain.
Thank you, Mr. Giri, and good evening, everyone. As emphasized by Mr. Sadu and Mr. Giri in their remarks, we are pleased to report that Cenexi reported a break-even EBITDA this quarter. This achievement reflects our continuous efforts to streamline operations and optimize costs. While we are still working toward our desired financial performance, this marks a strong beginning and emphasizes both our strategic intent and the progress we are making. To provide a more granular perspective, let me walk you through key updates at the site level. Production at our Fontenay facility has been on track with the plan. We were able to improve our order shipments and reduce downtime. The transfer of products to our new ampoule line is progressing well, thus increasing our production outputs. Our results this quarter also reflect the benefits of price increases negotiated last year with our customers. As we had reported, we have also concluded the required actions pertaining to the Q3 FY25 ANSM inspection. A new inspection took place in July to monitor the progress of our CAPA plan. We remain focused on streamlining operations on the site and adding further volumes. The operations at Hérouville-Saint-Clair have remained on track with our recovery plan, and we continue to see steady progress with the ongoing tech transfer projects under development. The installation of a new pre-filled syringe line, which is projected to be operational at the beginning of calendar year 2026, remains on track and will substantially increase our capacity in the high-demand PFS segment. The business from Braine-l'Alleud and Oni remained robust and delivered a solid performance this quarter. As updated previously, our two new lyophilizers are being installed at Braine-l'Alleud, and their qualifications will be concluded by the end of the calendar year 2025. In parallel, engineering studies for the installation of a new vial line under isolator with automatic loading and unloading of the lyophilizers are progressing well. The long-term prospects for this business remain robust, with high-value projects in our tech transfer program. Besides, our pipeline of new leads in Braine-l'Alleud is growing fast, with new projects under study in hormones, blood derivatives, biologics, and of course, cytotoxics. Q1 FY26 has marked the beginning of a meaningful turnaround. We remain firmly focused on our previous commitment. It is to deliver a positive EBITDA in Q3 FY2026 after a to-be-expected low Q2 FY2026 due to our summer shutdown. Thank you for your time. I will now turn the call over to Ravi to discuss our financial performance. Ravi, over to you.
Thank you, Anna. Good evening, and thank you for being with us on the call today as we review our financial performance for the first quarter of the fiscal year 2026. We are pleased with the steady growth in consolidated profitability year on year, driven by improvement in our gross margin, which has reflected a strong positive momentum, improving to 65% from 60% in Q1 FY25. This enhancement was largely on account of higher contribution from favorable raw material cost for several key products at base business. Excluding Cenexi, our base business gross margin stood at 59% in Q1 FY26, up from 53% in the same quarter of previous year. The consolidated EBITDA margin also improved significantly, reaching 24% from 19% in the corresponding period of FY25. This uplift was driven primarily by a strong gross margin and various cost controls initiatives across our base business. At Cenexi, EBITDA breakeven was achieved, supported by higher volumes alongside stable operating expenses. Excluding Cenexi, our base business delivered an EBITDA margin of 35% for Q1 FY26 compared to 29% in the same period last year. It is worth mentioning that the company launched ESOP 2025 scheme in May 2025 to motivate key employees and also to align with the interest of investors. On ESOP grant of 8,43,685 options, a non-cash expense amounting to ₹59.48 million was included in this quarter's employee benefit cost. Adjusted for this expense, our base business adjusted EBITDA stood at ₹3,651 million. Our net profit for the quarter reported a strong 50% year-on-year growth to ₹2,155 million compared to Q1 FY25. During the quarter, we achieved a PAT margin of 14% compared to 10% in Q1 FY25. Other income, primarily consisting of interest earned from bank deposit and foreign exchange gains, amounted to ₹575 million in Q1 FY26. This is higher than the ₹440 million reported in Q4 FY25. Our R&D expense for the quarter were ₹460 million, decreased from ₹489 million in the same period last fiscal year, largely due to timing of the expenses, while all our R&D programs remain on track. This quarter's R&D expense represents 4.4% of our revenue on an ex-Cenexi basis. On a standalone level, our effective tax rate was 25.7% for the quarter. As of June 30, 2025, our total cash and equivalents at the group level stood at ₹30,139 million, including non-callable deposit of ₹3,960 million. Debt at Cenexi level stood at ₹3,145 million. Cash flow from operations during Q1 FY26 was ₹2,620 million. Our average cash conversion cycle was 161 days for the first quarter, compared to 172 days at the end of FY25, largely on account of better receivable and payable management. Total capex during the quarter amounted to ₹786 million, mainly deployed in Cenexi DLA for the new projects and other replacement and maintenance spending. With that, I would now like to request the moderator to open the lines for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks and good evening. Sir, can you provide the profit share and milestone number for this quarter, please?
Yes, the milestone revenue is about... it's about 9%.
9%.
And the profit share is 12%.
Okay. And the second question on the pen and cartridge capacity of 40 million, which is available, and 140 that you're planning to go. If you can share the timeline and how much of this capacity, given the GLP-1 demand, do you expect to sort of come through this year in FY27 and 28, if you can sort of give some color as to how you see this capacity getting filled up.
So the 40 million capacity is already in place, and we have already filed, and that line is already approved, and like you have heard in commentary, we have launched liraglutide in few markets from that line. The 100 million capacity, the facility is in September and installation in November. By March, I would say March, April, it will be ready for metafilm commercialization. There will be a few contracts we are discussing with partners for that line. And anyway, Wegovy will come in 30. So most of the initial will be filing from that line. And then, so that should be good enough for our launches post 28.
So, sir, how much of this 140, so what is the amount of, you know, quantities you would be supplying, let's say, in this fiscal and 27 and 28? I know, like, some of this may be from a long-term perspective, but given the visibility on contracts that you have in place now.
Yeah, it might start with around 20 million the first year, and then in a few years, depending on which markets you get approval.
So 20 million you're saying this fiscal 26 or 27?
27.
Okay, understood. Thank you, and I'll join back. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. My first question is on Cenexi. Could you take us through a little bit on, you know, the break-even that we've achieved? You know, is this because of, you know, certain plant where we see losses being lower, and why we think this will be sustainable? And based on this, you know, what should be the year margin that you think Cenexi can now achieve, you know, for next year? Is a low-teen margin possible, or would it still be in the high single-digit case?
Allah, you want to take this? Okay. So yeah. Neha, Allah, please go ahead.
Yeah, so in Q2, all sites have contributed to a strong performance. Of course, BLA and ONI that have had a long-term positive EBITDA continued on the trend, but we start to see a recovery both in Fontenay and in Hérouville, who had been the lower performing sites in the past 12 months. And that's driven mainly by an increase of volume, as well as much reduced downtime, and also the result of all the actions that we have initiated in order to be more productive and more efficient.
Alan, if I may ask, you know, out of the three facilities, which one of them, you know, probably is the largest drag on profitability, and, you know, what's the scope to improve margins there?
So if we look at Q2, as I mentioned, both Fontenay and Hérouville have sharply increased their results. ONI and Brenaleux continue on a very positive trend, but most of the upside is coming from Fontenay and Hérouville that had been underperforming in the past 12 months.
So Neha, just to add, Fontenay side, I think we were struggling to deliver the demand, and the line which have added in March that kind of helped us to catch up with some of the back orders and also increase the capacity. So that has added the Fontenay and brought into green. And from the HSE side, two products got launched, Encepur and Gisothermic Gel vaccine product for this. So that those projects got commercialized, and there was a volume increase. That kind of helped HSE also to increase the revenue. So these are, and also there were actions taken by Alan in terms of increasing the transfer prices for several products, and that also helped in increasing the profitability.
And next year, sir, do we think we, you know, so next year can now comfortably do a low teen EBITDA margin? So would that be a fair assumption given the progress we've seen, you know, in this quarter? Probably still too early to call that.
So next quarter, because of the summer shutdown, the next quarter could
next
be...
Next year, sorry.
Yeah, but for the year, I think moving forward from October, I think it will be a bit of positive and we'll ramp it up slowly to get to the low teens or high single digits a bit.
Okay, understood. And my second question is on the U.S. business. You know, if I look at the performance in this quarter, you know, obviously there's lumpiness. As we think about that mid-teens growth that we talked about, you know, when do you start seeing improvement in the U.S. business to get to that mid-teens growth? And, you know, what would drive? We talked about the, you know, dry powder CMO. You know, when does that start flowing through? You know, when does those complex approvals actually start, you know, reflecting in the revenue numbers for U.S.?
So we're still on track for the aspect of budget. I would say, you know, we have achieved our budget in the first quarter. We are on track to get to the mid-teens growth for the year. The CMS project, the Lyo product just got launched last quarter. And you see that, you know, you see the numbers in Europe, why it has gone up. Basically, that product which got launched. The other one, the CMS dry powder, the Danish approval has come through the line-wise. Now they'll be submitting the dossiers next quarter. So the beginning of next year, those product will get launched in Europe and other markets. So that will be a big ticket item in terms of the CDMO business. The other big thing in the U.S. will be dalbavancin launch. That will be the September quarter. That's on track again in terms of the approval and launch. So these are the two big events that will help this growth coming back. Otherwise, everything else are in line with our internal budgets.
Oh, sorry, sir. Which was the second one you mentioned in September? I missed that.
Did dalbavancin? Dalbavancin launch in
India. Okay. Okay, got it. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to register for a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. Our next question comes from the line of Tushar Madudane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Sir,
just on liraglutide, how much overall business across the geography you would have made this quarter?
We can't be specific, but I think we launched in UK and in Australia. UK and Australia got launched this quarter. And previous quarter, again, I think the two markets, right? South Africa and Saudi Arabia, two markets. So till now, it's four markets. This product got launched.
And how many more, like, subsequently in FY, like, in the remaining quarters of 26?
It's a global deal, so I can't say because it's a partner's product, so... But it's a global agreement.
And so will this have cannibalizing impact once, like in the next year when the other peptides get as a business opportunity for Gland?
No, it has its own market, right? I mean, Lira and Sema both have its own market.
No, from the capacity, manufacturing capacity point of view.
No, no, we have enough capacity. We have currently 40 million and that should suffice for next few years. Because the major product Wegovy will only come early 30s, right? So
that is as far as US market is concerned. But
yeah,
for the semi-regulated markets,
we'll have the other line ready by the first quarter of next year. So that should take care of the demand. Till that time, we have enough capacity.
And sir, I missed the name of the two, you know, potential product for U.S. market which will drive sales, if you could repeat.
So one is dalbavancin and the other, we already told it, CMS contract. That's not just U.S., that's also European. So, the second one is the CDMO project.
Okay. And so just lastly, considering QQ sort of dip in profitability for Cenexi and then reviving, so full year 26, sort of what kind of EBITDA margin one should think of?
full year EBITDA. Give me a second, Tushar. Yes, similar like this quarter, which are around 25% PAT, 24-25%.
No, for next year.
You want EBITDA or?
EBITDA margin. Okay.
So, Tushar, Cenexi, you know, we are estimating the EBITDA ramp-up happening in Q3 and then Q4 also. Q2 would be a little lower because of the one-month summer shutdown. So, accordingly, we'll have the full year Cenexi number.
Got you. So, you were indicating like full year EBITDA margin of Gland per se as like 24% to be considered?
I think combined Gland and Cenexi put there on 25% I would.
Yeah, this is the current quarter is a bit consolidated.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Bino Pathi Parampil from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Could you please elaborate a bit on the semaglutide manufacturing opportunity for you in the near term, specifically for next financial year? How big can that be based on your capacity, your contracts, and your outlook compared to the overall size of the company?
Hi, Bino. So as I said, you know, we have today 40 million cartridge up and running. We are completing 100 million again. So enter next year, you know, FY27 will be one of the top tier cartridge capacity. 140 million cartridges. You also have contracts on your. We are talking to four types of customers, you know, Indian customers for global market. Local customer for India, Indian customer for India market. Okay. And finally, we are talking to also some more players for global market. So, as we are doing this exercise, we are here to sell our capacity. The capacities are being lapped up. You know, it will take some time for us to tell you exact capacity being sold by end of quarter 4, 26. So right now we don't have a number that how FY27 looks like, but we are being approached by many customers who want to launch their GLP-1s in India and global market.
Understood. So did I hear it correctly that the entire 140, that is the new 100 as well, will be ready by the end of this financial year, by March?
That's correct. The 40 is already ready and another 100 by March to be commercialized. Ready for commercialization by March, April, I think.
Understood. And I believe what you do is the cartridge, getting the cartridge and the API and then, you know, filling the cartridge with the API. That is the only activity that you do. Am I correct?
It is a fill and finish CDMO line, you know. So we are not developing our own SEMA. It is a fill and finish activity that we will do.
Okay. And if I may ask, the kind of contract that you are getting, where does the API come from? Does the customer directly get the API and ask for a fill and finish, or do you go to source the API as well?
No, these are all developed by partners and transferred to us. So API sourcing will be done by them and developed by them. So either it's internally developed by the partner or the outsourcing. So we have currently agreements for liraglutide and semaglutide with partner, and more are upcoming. but most of them are, but we don't source for them.
Understood. And last one question. Given the so-called capacity shortage in the market for semaglutide, etc., is this fill and finish activity going to be of a significantly higher margin profile than the other fill and finish lines that you run?
The contribution margin could be higher because of the volume you can produce in a batch for cartridges. But it all depends on how the market behaves and, you know, once you come closer to launches in various markets. So we can't really comment, but we can only comment on the contribution margins will be better than others because of the throughput you can give on a daily basis.
And the throughput is higher because of the nature of the cartridge or why is it? Is it because of a technical reason?
Yeah, the speed of the machine as well as the fill volume of the so it can produce more units compared to a vial.
Understood. Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
So thanks for taking my question. Just following up on these previous questions, so on the these capacities that we have, you know, these are capacities for multi-dose cartridges and pen assembly, or these are largely vial filling capacities?
These are cartridges. These are not vial lines. These are, this is a bulk cartridge line, and these lines are integrated with the pen assembly line.
Oh, okay. And so from a regulatory perspective, the next 100 million vials cartridge capacity that you'll pick up, that you'll put up, what kind of regulatory approvals are you looking at? You know, for which kind of, which, so A, 40, these 40 million, what regulators will approve this capacity? And for you to get, you know, incrementally approvals for the next 100 million, what kind of time frame will that take after the commissioning?
So this line is part of the same suite where you have other lines approved, including this sterile cartridge. So the approvals will be faster, especially US and Europe, because the suite is approved for these markets already. So it will be easier. You have seen Lira got getting launched in other markets. So this is a similar block and suite. So it's easier compared to a new line, new suite.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Abdul Qadir Puranwala from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So thank you for the opportunity. So for the first question, it's with respect to your US market growth for the base business. You know, any commentary you would like to provide as to how the growth would revive in this particular portfolio in quarters ahead?
Hi, Abdul Qadir. Can you again repeat your question, please?
Yeah, so my question is with regards to your U.S. Revenues, which has declined at around 2%. Within that, Vans portfolio, the growth has been minus 5%. So wanted to understand, you know, how would this shape up in the near term? And when we see this, you know, business, when we talk about the mid-teen kind of a growth rate, how would this business growth would pan out?
Yeah, so I think it's more to do with the timing, especially enoxaparin supplies in this quarter was around 70 crores, which is normally around 130, 140 crores. It's more about the timing because some of the SKUs, the large dosage SKUs are not supplied every quarter. So that if you actually exclude the Enoxa supplies, the volume, the revenue growth for US is almost like 11% market growth. So other than that, it's more to do with the timing issue because annual basis our Enoxa is still intact in terms of volume and revenue. So that's the main reason why we show that growth. Otherwise, degrowth, otherwise it's in line.
Understood, sir. And so, just one more, if I may. So, any update on the biologics, biosimilar, tie-up you had with Dr. Reddy's and one other customer. When should we look for commercial revenues coming from that venture?
That started from July 1st. It's now been the collaboration started. The team is in place now from their side. So you'll see some revenue coming from this quarter onward from the Dr. Reddy's collaboration. On the other project, still we are working on RFPs and the commercial discussions are happening on the Henlius two projects we're discussing with them. But that will take some time because that's more tech transfer activities that will happen next year or so. But from the DRL project, we'll see some contribution coming from this quarter.
Okay, and so if we have to track this in quarters ahead, so the collaboration would be for which market?
So this is more to do with pilot scale batches at the lab. So it's not specific to product now, market now. It's more pilot scale batches going for clinicals and all that.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Dheeresh Pathak from White Oak. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So you have 140 million cartridge fill finish capacity available for FY27. And you mentioned that you're working with various category of clients. So how much utilization do you expect for the full year, FY27?
FY27, the utilization for the new line won't happen because most of the markets will open up later, right? ROW opens up a few markets next year. So the utilization may not be much, but we're also talking to not just the GLP-1s, but also some of the other molecules to see if we can fill up capacity for the next few years. But majority of the capacities will start filling up from 29-30.
Okay, all right. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one now. Our next follow-up question comes from the line, our next question comes from the line of Rahul Jeewani from IIFL Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, sir. So you indicated that for the GLP-1 products for FY27, you will be commercializing around 20 million pens and cartridges. So what kind of a fill-finish pricing are you working with? So while I understand that the pricing would be dependent on how the end market dynamics play out, but some ballpark number would be helpful here.
Can't really comment on the pricing because, and also we're not dependent on the end pricing because being a CDMO, we have a fixed conversion cost paid for each pen. So that's kind of fixed. It's not related to the end market. But you can't really say how much because it depends on the contract and what pricing we agree with the particular customer.
Okay, but this 20 million commercialization which will happen in FY27 will largely be for the ROW market and hence you will book that revenue as part of the ROW business.
So it's a combination of some in several markets, like, you know, even you have Liga which is getting launched in certain markets and likewise Sema will also be launched in few markets.
Okay, sure, sir. And, sir, on this base business growth, while we have commented over past 3-4 quarters that the base business growth should pick up to a mid-teens kind of a number, this quarter as well, the base business grew only 3%. So while I appreciate the fact that there was volatility related to enoxaparin, but enoxaparin and heparin are our two largest products, which will have this quarterly, let's say, kind of a volatility. So when do you think that the base business growth actually starts accelerating or improving to this mid-teens kind of a number? Thank you.
See, just not these two products. The launches just mentioned about, whether it's Dalba or the CMS project, that will start coming up in last two quarters. And so that also gives a big jump. So on an average basis for the year, we'll hit that mid-teens.
Okay, so this mid-teens is including Cenexi at an overall company level?
Overall, yes.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next follow-up question comes from the line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up, sir. I just wanted to check on, I think you received approval for generic Vyzulta, latanoprostene, sometime back with exclusivity. I mean, is that a product we expect in the near term or is it a few years out?
It's a few years out, based on the settlement and the patent, it's a few years out.
So not in the next 2 years. Will that be a fair assumption to make here?
Give me a second. I'll just get the date. It's FY 29.
Okay, understood. You mentioned about building out in the ROW markets, and it would take some time to build that out. So how should we think about your approach in the various ROW markets and, you know, what kind of ramp up, what kind of scale you are looking at?
So Sain, if you see ROW, you know, we in many ways have arrested the degrowth, and this quarter is a quarter of growth on a Q1Q basis, 24% on a Y-on-Y basis, 5%. What we are doing in ROW is having a portfolio approach. What we have done first is classified countries of ROW as class 1, class 2, class 3. This is the kind of portfolio optimization, customization, and focus that we need. Okay. Second, what we also done is we are now tracking all the registrations, activating some old registrations which were actually in the past became active, and having a high kind of cadence review with the partners on ground. These are all tactical things, but strategically, we are finalizing a portfolio which will place us among one of the top tier injectable company in that country. So a lot of things happening tactically and strategically, but we have reasons to believe that ROW business can double up over a few years from now.
Okay, sir. And sir, one last question if I can. Few years back, you know, you had mentioned about China market collaboration with Fosun and its presence in various markets. I'm just wondering, you know, what kind of involvement like Fosun has in the strategic direction for the company and the business as a whole at this point?
So overall, I think Fosun is a good partner. We have access to Chinese ecosystem from an API sign and all of that because of Fosun. But they're not day-to-day, Sayan. And if I were to again comment on a particular China market question, we have four approvals. Four more pending, okay, and we do have some values that we are generating. China, again, is a very intimidating market. We want to really push our approvals, registration more in China. It takes a lot of time, and there is an VVP overhang, and also the selection of molecule becomes very, very critical of where we want to play in China.
Okay, sir, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Harsh Bhatia from Bandhan Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Am I audible?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir, you're audible.
Go ahead. Yeah, thank you, sir. Would it be able to call out the order book for Cenexi? I think so last quarter it was close to 100 million euros, if I'm not wrong. But for this quarter, what would be the order book visibility?
So the order book is approximately around 85 to 90 still, although this quarter we produce a little more to clear some backlog. We do have a backlog still.
Sure. And considering the 48 million euro run rate, assuming hypothetically this is the run rate to work with, on an annualized basis, on the expanded capacity base, what would be the broad capacity utilization for the Cenexi business as such across all the brands?
So let me slice and dice for you this one. You know, so we do have capacity available in HSC, BLA. Oni and Fontenay is where we are, you know, peak of the utilization, and therefore there, price increases, getting higher value format, getting new businesses for new value or more value is the strategy.
Just to add, Harsh, is that in Cenexi, the Fontenay line G has recently been started commercially operating. So this will go up from this quarter's run rates Fontenay has done. Herovilli site, like Mr. Sadhu explained a little while ago, is that it was a few products launched, and there they are ample runway for further capacity utilization. So there is further plans in the tech transfer project happening, so it will go up further at Herovilli side. BL, as you know, that there are a few new lives recently set up, few more are coming, but there's one new wire line being expanded. So all this will in the next year more or less be operational, and then maybe see have revenue scale up significantly from this level.
Would it be fair to say, I understand that Fontenay would be more of a product mix rather than a pure capacity lever, but that's more to do with Herwell and BLA. But would it be fair to say at current capacity you can very easily go to, let's say, a quarterly run rate of 100 million euros just based on the current capacity or the expanded capacity base?
No, so expanded capacity definitely would be before the BLS new line growth capacity, it should be around between 50 to 55 million.
Okay.
Before BLS, wire line. So when that gets commercialized next year, it would further grow.
Okay. And just one clarification, I think you had already spoken about this a few quarters back, but just to refresh our memory, just a very basic question on the GLP cartridge capacity, fill finish and cartridge capacity. The 40 million going to 140 million units at the cartridge level, and you're saying that that's integrated to the pen assembly lines as well. So at, let's say, 140 million cartridge capacity for the fill finish part, how many pens can we produce? Or the other way to ask this would also be that how many multi-dose pens / auto-injectors, single-use auto-injectors would we be able to provide? Assuming that there could be some part that is fungible, is that a fair understanding or is there something that we are missing?
So the pen line that we are incubating has around 160 to 200 pens per minute. That's the kind of speed. It is a high-speed pen. And if I understand your question correctly, you're asking how many pens we can produce. Is it?
Sure. On the basis of this 140 million cartridge capacity, how much of that can lead to incremental pens output? Because I'm assuming that that was the output that you'll be able to provide to the customer at the end. Could it be multi-dose pens or single auto-injector pens?
Whether it's multi-dose or single-dose, it's the same. The capacity wise is the same, 140 million. The cartridges are similar. Only the assembly machines are, the pens, devices are different.
Okay, so then it wouldn't matter. Broadly, your 140 million cartridge capacity would be fungible across whether it is a multi-dose or a single-use thing.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ankush Mahajan from Santam Wealth. Please go ahead.
So this current capacity of 40 million, what is the current capacity utilization in the last quarter? And my other one is that this US run rate revenues in the range of 700 crores. So how do you see US business considering this tariff structure and either the destocking by the distributors, or how do you see, sir, in the near future?
So on the cartridge, currently it's a very limited capacity utilization because there is only one from the commercialization perspective. But we are also taking batches for exhibit batches and development batches for the other CDMO contracts we have. So till the Ozempic or Wegovy is launched and commercially, the capacity utilization will be lower. So currently most of the capacity is used for the development batches, not for the commercial. And what's the second question?
On the US side, on the US side, there are three factors which will impact the US business going forward. One, of course, was enoxaparin timing that we have discussed, launches of CMS and anti-alcohol. Okay, so with all those factors and whatever we are doing, we still will be guided to growth in the US. So we still stick to the guidance of growth in the US market.
And sir, what is your
question on the tariff?
Can you repeat the question, sorry?
So my question was that there is a tariff is announced on the by the Trump government. So how do we see the US business in upcoming quarters now? Either distributors or there is destocking is happening in the US market or not?
Yeah, so as of now there's no tariff on pharma. But we have to see how much and how does it happen. But as per the discussions we have, we will pass on to the partners, and they have to pass on to the front end purchasing groups. So that's how the discussion is. But everybody is now getting their finger across when and how much they will charge, because the market says for generics they made the exemption, but mostly on the branded side, it would impose large tariffs.
Thank you, sir. That's all my side.
Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Dawal Kut from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you, sir, for taking my question. For the European market, wanted to know which was the bigger growth driver between the new product launches, especially the liraglutide and the new tech transfer project. And secondly, when we launch a product, is there any channel benefit that we get whose revenue may not be available in next 1-2 quarters, but as we gain the market share, it again scales up to that level?
So the CMS project is on-market product. It's only a transfer from European side to Gland side. So there's no question about gaining market share. It's already there. And the Lyo product is already launched. It's already approved. Dry powder, we just filed, they're filing dossiers with the data. So that approval will come the first quarter of next year. That's when that business will start. But there's already a market which is already there. Basically, it's a transfer of manufacturing side from Europe to India.
Okay, so the YOY growth that we see within the European market, what will you attribute it to?
Mostly it's CMS that got launched in Europe, and some of Lira launched in UK.
Okay. And is there any benefit of channel filling in the Lira launch that you have done? And what are the other markets that are scheduled for launch during the year?
So for the other markets, there's no channel filling unlike US. So this is more a straight. But the other markets, what we are very estimate, we have launched in South Africa and Saudi last quarter, and there's Mexico and few other markets in pipeline we launched.
Okay, that will occur this year itself, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, okay, thank you. That answers my questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to paucity of time, this was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Runjhun Jain for closing comments.
Thank you for joining us today. We greatly value your thoughtful questions and active engagement during this session. If you have any additional queries, please feel free to reach out to us. We look forward to connecting with you again next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Gland Pharma Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.